Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John.
And I'm Randy.
And we have today, Randy, the big show, the Johnnies.
The Johnnies, my favorite time of year. And John, I just want to let you know I say it every year, but I feel God in this Chili's tonight. I am so excited for the Johnnies.
I'm excited too. You texted me earlier and you said last year we did this as a very end of the season award.
It was the end of season.
And
had already been won, and yeah. We gave out year end awards.
Yes, which as I was going through awards today, I was like, you know, some of these could come back to bite me in the ass if I'm not careful. So maybe this should be an end of the season award. But I looked, and the first time we did it, it was a regular season award. So we're just getting back to our roots.
So I'm not going to lie. Doing these awards at the end of the regular season, I thought for me made it a little more difficult to come up with them.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Some of the awards, as I was giving them out, I was like, maybe this is going to come back to bite me in the ass. So I went back and I kind of added in like an outlook on the remainder of the year for them playoff eligible teams.
Right. Yeah. I like it. Well, I'm excited to hand out those awards. We also have some guest awards to give out. So very excited to get into that. But first, Rando, let's go over a crazy last week of the season. Although, it wasn't much of a nail biter, but
no, a couple games came down to the last couple players. I'd say the only real nail biter was Oink versus Altman and Sons.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
And I thought the technical fouls and the running fools kind of lived up to the hype. But that mainly being because Brian made an uncalculated error.
Yeah.
And I don't think that game would have been as close had he not made that error.
That is so funny. Did Tom actually take that personally? He seemed pretty upset.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. Tom needs a hobby. He needs a hobby outside of fantasy football. Tom, take up running again. Go smoke a cigar. Get a nice bottle. We do something other than fantasy, buddy. Take a chill pill.
He told me we got drinks last week, and he told me that he can name like every what did he say? Like every starting position in the NFL for every fucking team.
Yeah, I don't doubt. Well, wait, every starting position.
Okay. No, he said he could do that for the Steelers, and then he did that. I can't remember. He said like most of them, probably like, I think 75%. He guessed.
Yeah, the Steelers. I don't think the Steelers itself would be that difficult. That's the home team.
You do it. I don't know the fucking positions though.
Where do you want to start?
Offense. Go roll through it.
All right, we got Russell Wilson.
No,
we got
offense is easy. Do defense.
All right, so what? You got Joey Porter Jr. You got Mika Fitzpatrick. You got, what's Elliott's? I don't know Elliott's first name.
Okay, Deshaun.
Deshaun Elliott. Who's the other corner? Is it the dude from Carolina? Am I right?
Yeah, Dante Jackson.
I can't think of the – yeah.
Or Dante.
Yeah, Dante Jackson.
Or is it Dante Johnson and Deontay? I think it's Dante Johnson because it was very close to Deontay Johnson.
I think it's Dante Jackson.
Let's not get into this right now.
Yeah,
needs a hobby. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, needs a hobby. Tom's also the guy. I love talking to Tom during draft time because Tom loves to tell you, like, John, picture this. It's you're out on – when's the draft usually? March?
Yeah. April.
It's early April. You're out playing an early round of golf with Tom right before the draft. And Tom starts telling you about this left guard that's projected for the sixth round out of Fresno State University. He's 6'7", 318 pounds, was a four-year letterman, and you're just baffled. Like, wow, why do you know this?
Oh man. Well, yeah, his game, fortunately for him, wasn't much of a game because he did control his own destiny, and he won his game 113 to a pathetic 82 from Hawk
Tua. You know what? Hawk Tua, you want to start that game?
Hawk Tua and spit this season out of my mouth, Randy. This is terrible. 0-13.
Hawk Tua. How's that possible? Let me down Thanksgiving Day. Man, I get he had things going on, and I know he was doing well for his family, but I gave him an hour's heads up that David Montgomery was live, he was going to play, not that it would have mattered. He would have got 12 and a half. Gus Edwards had 3.5, so that's an extra 9.5 points that puts him at 91.5.
Yeah, I think it wasn't going to happen. It's just, he just is not, it was not his year. I mean, as a fucking understatement. That is the end of that terrible season for Octua. Denny Irvine, on the other hand, wins the East and is headed to the playoffs as a 2 seed.
As the 2 seed, like, as he should. It was his game to lose, and I think we all knew that the outcome was going to go Tom's way, but I really expected a better performance out of Hawk Tua.
I did too. But, you know, what can you do? Anyway, let's get on to our next game. Let's do Oink versus Altman and Sons. This was kind of a surprising one. Not because Altman and Sons won 108-103, because I think we both had thought that they had a chance. Yeah. But we were thinking that they were going to have to put up, like, 120 points to win this game. When they were trending towards 108, I was kind of thinking Oink was going to win it, but it was not the case.
Yeah, Oink really undershot his projection this week.
And I thought Josh Allen was going to have like a billion fucking points based off of how many goddamn points he scored on the one play where he was given a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown scored on the same play. But he only got 26, which is, you know, that's good, but that's 10 points right there. So, yeah, I just thought it'd be better.
David did enough to punt, luckily David was never really out of it. Well,
I can't remember if the technical fouls won this week, if that would have changed anything, but
it would have come down to points.
He'd be. Which David would win. That's what it was, yeah.
So David was pretty much in.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember who we picked last week. Did we both pick Oink?
I don't know. I used to write that stuff down. I can't keep track of all that shit now.
Why we need an intern, John? Why we need an intern? But, that was a great game. It really came down on Monday night to Bo Nix versus...
And Bo Nix was a fucking struggle bus the first quarter. I think he had like four points, finished with 11. So still not a good night, but still was able to squeak ahead of Oink there.
I'm trying to see. It came down to... David didn't have anyone playing Monday night.
Nope. Yeah, he was done after Sunday.
Yeah, and at that point, I think David only had a minor lead. So David almost snuck one out, but yeah, it was a great game all around.
It was, and ultimately meaningless. So I'm sure David's happy about that. He remains the 4 seed, despite the loss, 8-5, and Albany and Sons finishes 5-8 on the season. That puts them at 6th place, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then next up, let's get to Running Fools versus Technical Fouls. You know, the fouls, they've been fighting like dogs these past 2 weeks. And I'm not sure if they've been getting fucked over, but they've definitely been, you know, not getting lucky. That's for damn sure. They lost by, I think, 3 points last week after Quentin Johnston dropped 3 balls in the game. Uh-huh. Won it. And... this week loses by 8 points to the Running Fools. Although, as we said earlier, the Running Fools did not start a quarterback.
Yeah, and kudos to Commissioner Glancy for not letting Brian sneak a quarterback back in there.
Well, and were you texting the commish to tell him to put David Montgomery in Hawk 2's lineup?
I did not explicitly say to do it. I said,
disgusting.
What's the stance on manually going into Didiano's team?
What's the stance? Even asking the question.
Oh, come on.
You're an ambassador for this league, Randall.
I was a little drunky poo on Thanksgiving, John. Everything was fair game. But, hey, look, for the running fools, when you play with fire, sometimes you get burnt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brian, for the bit, it was funny to take all your players out of the lineup. But look,
I loved it.
It burned you.
He was going to make the playoffs anyway. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's funny.
Brian just wanted to prove a point that he could win a fantasy football game without a starting quarterback.
I feel like that's what it was.
And we need to change
the story. I mean, he's got to be feeling really good going into the playoffs because who would he have in there? Probably.
I believe it would have been Jalen Hurts.
He probably would have put Jalen Hurts. He's been liking him lately. Him and his million fucking quarterbacks. That's going to be the end of him. It fucking is. And I'm, you know, well, we'll see. But yeah, I think Jalen Hurts is probably who would have thrown in there. But that still wouldn't have put him over you, Rando, the point leader on the week, putting up 134.5 points and handing the Iron City Olifants their second loss.
Thanks to the boy, Jerry Jeudy. He put the real American on his back.
You are not fucking kidding. I was not looking at my game at all last night. I was looking at fantasy a lot, was not paying an iota of attention to our game because I was like, this is not, he might be able to get close, but there's no fucking way he's getting over. And I think by halftime you were down like 11 points.
And Javonte Williams scored an early first quarter touchdown. And mm-hmm. I was sitting there watching it. I'm like, there's a glimmer of hope.
And that's all he fucking did also. He got that.
Yeah, and I never expected Jerry Jeudy to put up 35.5 points.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it was a week high, Rando, and also a season high for you. This was your highest score on the season, 134.5. I was pretty pissed off.
Hey, better late than never, John. Better late than never.
That one pissed me off, but that's okay. I'm feeling really good about my squad heading into the playoffs. The Fonts secured the one seed, and the Real Americans finished the season 4-9, and that puts you at seventh. Are you in seventh place?
Yeah, seventh place. But I will say, I think I overachieved this year.
You think
there's no reason that this team should be 4-9?
I would agree.
Not a single reason. I had no draft picks. It was all done. If you look, I forget. You can look at, I forget what tab it is, but it tells you players like you drafted or how you picked them up. The majority of my roster is from free agency.
Damn. I actually have the draft board up. Let's go ahead and look at that original.
And I believe I lead the league in transactions at 26.
Did you have Joe Mixon to start the season?
Yep, traded him to Brian.
Oh, my fucking God. And James Cook?
Traded him to Chez.
Okay, Tank Dell sucked. DeAndre Hopkins sucked. Mark Andrews, as we've discussed, averages like 13.5 points when he's not on your squad.
Correct.
Roma Dunze, he sucked. Jordan Addison,
cut him.
He sucked.
Evan McPherson, cut him.
Aaron Rodgers, Najee, Gabe Davis, Gus Edwards. Yeah, this is a terrible team.
The only player on – there's two players on that list that are still on my team.
Patrick Mahomes.
And it's Patrick Mahomes and Najee Harris.
That's it.
That's it? Oh, sorry. And if you go down to bench 5, Jackson Smith.
Oh, you're hanging on to him too. Oh, yeah.
Hang on to him.
Oh, yeah. He's been pretty solid for you this year.
Yeah. Okay. So three players from my draft have remained on the Real American.
You traded Joe Mixon. What?
It's a tough Yeah, and I don't think I got any.
You probably gave up picks also.
I think I gave up picks to trade Joe Mixon.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
But yeah, I'm very proud of our efforts. I'm glad that this year, two of my wins come against the Running Fools and the Iron City Olyphants.
Really? Wow. That's two juggernauts. That's really funny.
Not to see, I don't even know who else I beat.
And still drafting seventh, or yep. Drafting second. Well, would be.
All I was playing for, John, is I didn't want you boys that have all my first round picks for the next decade. I didn't want you boys drafting early, or at least number one overall. I wanted there to be a fight for it.
Oh man, that's too fucking funny.
Trying to see who did I beat? Oh, I beat Hawk Tua.
Yeah,
everyone of their mother. Okay, so
you beat Hawk Tua twice. You beat Hawk Tua twice, and me and Brian once.
No, I only played Hawk Tua once in the regular season.
Oh, you only got Hawk Tua once. Damn.
I played Hawk Tua. I beat Hawk Tua. I beat Altman and Sons, and then you and Brian.
I gotta say, you know, all the shit we give Didiano, it is just so fucking nice being able to take a week off from fantasy. You don't have to worry about it. You set the lineup, you walk away. You go, you know, make some cookies. You go for a walk, get a coffee. You don't have to watch the games. It's a dub.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about drafts real quick, because we have the first four positions of the draft ready to go, Rando.
Oh, let's go. I'm excited.
Picking first, number one overall pick, of course, 0-13, Hawk Tua. Boy, do they fucking need it. Glad they have that first round draft pick. And then next would be the Real Americans, but they traded that to Oink for who again, Rando?
Couldn't tell you.
Josh Jacobs last year as a loner.
Altman. Sorry.
And then next, Altman and Sons Incorporated, drafting third, and the Technical Fouls eliminated from the playoffs today, drafting fourth. And then the rest is TBD, Rando.
Interesting. What's the playoff bracket look like, Johnny? Who do we got who in the first round matchup?
Well, first round, the number one seed Iron City Olyphants will take on the four seed Oink. And then in the other side, we have the two seed Denny Irvine Gatorade from the East taking on the Running Fools, the second team in the West. So that's what we got going forward.
Both very intriguing matchups. I'm excited for both, actually.
They're pretty good, and I know we'll get into it later, but this is the second year in a row that there have been buys in the first round of the playoffs that are week 14 buys. It might have been longer than that, but I've certainly noticed this year, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. But That's tough. Do you think this is a problem for fantasy, Rando, or is this all fair play?
I think it's fair play. It's one of the things you got to always prepare for buys.
Yeah. It's definitely can be a bit of an equalizer.
I'm trying to see. Is week 14 the latest?
That's the last week of buys, yeah. And there are six teams on buy. A lot of buys this week.
So I'm trying to see how you could do it without that being an issue. You'd have to add a week to the season.
You'd have to go into the last week probably, or make the first round of the playoffs just a single round. I'm not actually in favor of that. I'm okay with the buys.
Yeah, I'm okay with the buys. You just got to plan accordingly.
You do have to plan accordingly. That's all it is.
And not if you're one of those teams like an Iron City Olyphant or Denny Irvine's Gatorade or the Running Fools, and you've kind of been up there in the standings all season long, you should have been preparing for that anyways. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, Rando. Time for a little bit of mail time.
Mail time. Let's get right into it.
Well, we are only going to do one piece of mail, which is a fun fact from my good friend and co-host, Randall Myers. Rando, what do you got for us?
So this was tweeted out by Jimmy Trammell. Not sure what news outlet he works for. But his tweet is, the previous employers of Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs surveyed the landscape and decided not to prioritize keeping alpha running backs. Now they rank 1, 2, and 3 among NFL rushing leaders for teams that collectively are 24-9.
Wow.
The teams that let them walk are a collective 7-26. That being the New York Giants, the Tennessee Titans, and the Oakland Raiders. John,
man, that's crazy.
Is the running back position back?
I would say it is, but I mean, they also, I feel like they left teams that needed like a million other things in addition to a running back, and they went to teams that were good in a lot of other positions already.
Correct.
You know? But I mean, that's, I mean, that shows how important they are to a winning team. I agree. So yeah, I think they are back.
24-9. That's
very impressive. And yeah, they're all having career years. It's crazy. Josh Jacobs really surprises me. Well, I guess he's not. Well, okay, yeah, I guess he's been on the team for the past 2 years, but because he was on the Packers last year too, right? Or am I wrong?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
See, we need Tom.
David would know. He's a big Josh Jacobs fan. I fucking hate him. I hate that guy. All right. Well, I have, since you shared a little fun fact, I thought I'd share a little fun fact also. Someone named at Hayden Winks, again, no idea who this person is, could be making this up. He says, if you have Saquon Barkley, you have a 51% chance of being in first or second place in your fantasy league per at Underdog Fantasy.
Interesting.
And I will note that the person who has Saquon in our league is fifth and not in the fucking playoffs.
Had so, that trade brutal. Gone through, John.
I mean, it's a different story.
It's a different story. The number one team in the league has Saquon.
I would fucking love that. And fuck Chez for turning me down forever. all right, that's enough of that. Rando, let's get to the main event, the Johnnies.
Oh, let's go.
And we're going to start off with, just an incredible owner all around. I think he's the all-time winningest owner in the league. We have Brian Flaherty of the Running Fools, Rando.
Do you want to present first, or you want me to present first?
I'll go first because I feel like you.
I like when you present and then I go.
Okay, let's do that. So
gives me time to brush up on my reading.
I don't love mine for Brian because it's, I don't know that it's like a full season, regular season award, but I gave him the Icarus Award because, of course, famously Icarus, had those wax wings and he was flying high. And he was, above the world. And he thought, why don't I go above the heavens? Then what happened, Rando? Flew a little too close to the sun. A little too close to the sun. And I think that's just emblematic of Brian's season. I think the Christian McCaffrey debacle with his team. I said at the time that trade was a trade of hubris. He really thought he was unbeatable at that point, and I worry that trade is really going to come back to bite him, because if you recall, he had Bijan Robinson from David early in the season. There were other pieces, but that was the main thing. And then I think it was week 8 they swapped back so that David now has Bijan Robinson and he has Christian McCaffrey, who of course has played I think 2 or 3 games and is now out for the season again. So, it's I think looking at his lineup, I think not having that big running back piece, I think has been a a tough thing to replace for him late in the season. So that's why I gave him that award. You know, we'll see what happens moving forward, but.
Hey, I like it. The Icarus Award. I'm taking notes so that I can look back at these and we can remember.
Oh, impressive, Randall. You can be our intern.
Sometimes I feel like it the way you treat me. So to build off that, I gave mine the Forgot About Dre Award. So y'all know Brian, still same OG, but he'd been low-key, hated on by most of these owners with no cheese, no deals, and no G. What is there more I could say about the Running Fools, the one true blue blood in this league with four fantasy football championships and currently in the hunt as the 3 seed in the playoffs, looking to add his 5th fantasy football championship to his collection? At 9-4, John, he remains one of the top dogs, not only in record, but also coming in 2nd from the scoring title with 1,579 points. Will this be the year Brian gets the one for the thumb, or will he come up short in his highly anticipated matchup with Denny Irvine's Gatorade?
Wow. Oh, my God, Randy. You, like, prepared for these. That was beautiful.
I spent every moment of my downtime writing these today.
That was incredible. That was amazing. And, yeah, I'm very excited to see how this matchup turns out. Two, I think, really good teams. It's going to be interesting, Randa.
I cannot wait, especially for the chirping back and forth. These two already got
it. They're going at it hard. I'm surprised. I was about to text David right after and say, you know, let's be gentlemen about this. You know, I'm I can't handle
it. See, you and David, you're good sports. You're good sports about it.
Well, you know, since we've brought up Tom, why don't we get to Denny Irvine's Gatorade next? Perfect. Rando. I had a couple for them. I have two. First was the No Half Measures Walter Award from Breaking Bad. Have you seen Breaking Bad, Rando?
I have.
Well, you know, a key part of that is no taking half measures when you need a full measure. And I think if you look at their trades this season, they're conflicting about what their goal is this season, I would say. Made a lot of really small trades to gain players, but then also made one really big trade to get rid of his best player. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting. The No Half Measures Walter Award for Denny Irvine's Gatorade is the one. And then the second one, I just got to give them, again, the Overhandling Award. They've made 24 moves, which is 2nd on the waiver wire. And I don't know about you, Rando, but that sounds like overhandling to me.
Sorry. I couldn't agree with you more on Tom's awards.
All right, what'd you give Denny Irvine's Gatorade?
So along the same lines as you, just a different way of getting there, which seems to be a reoccurring thing of the Johnnies. We seem to be we don't share these with one another.
No, we don't.
Before we read them. And it seems like every year, for the most part, we're pretty yin and yang on these.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave Tom the Bob Nutting Award, Spend Nutting, Win Nutting. like the award's namesake, this award is being given to Denny Irvine's Gatorade, an owner who can't decide whether he's here to make a run for another or for a championship or is abandoning ship before it ever sets sail. Yes, Tom's team has once again made the playoffs, and yes, Tom's team has secured first place out of the East. But in the same breath, this is an owner that constantly flip-flops on whether his team is good and in contention or says it's bad and absolute dog shit. Then, at the trade deadline, with his team still on the hunt, made questionable moves but can't decide if he's buying or selling. Will history repeat itself and Tom lose his 5th fantasy football championship in 7 years and regret trading away Derrick Henry and Jalen Hurts instead of going all in at the deadline, boosting his roster with more firepower? Only time will tell for Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Man, it's crazy to me that he traded me Derrick Henry. It really is. I gave up a lot for him, but man, it just sounds like overhandling to me.
I agree with you. It's overhandling, but I did do the math on it today. I went through and I looked at Tom's scores, mm-hmm. and then I went in and replaced them with Jalen Hurts and Derrick Henry. And after doing the math, Tom's record would have only increased one game. He would have went from, what did he finish? 8-5. He would have ended up being 9-4.
Okay.
So I mean,
that's pretty big. That puts him at tied for second place overall.
Correct. So, but in reality, he didn't improve his team. He didn't really make it any better. He didn't make it any worse.
Right.
So what are you doing, Tom? What are you?
Confusing.
Other than stockpiling future draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was part of it. He got a lot of draft picks out of those trades.
Yeah.
But do you want to win, Tom, or you just want to keep coming to the draft at Hickory Heights? What do you want to do, bud?
And
you can go any time of the year. You can hang out with your buddies any time of the year.
I mean, I don't, you know, God, I'm stuttering too much. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
We're talking about Tom, and he's rubbing off on you.
No, I'm cutting that.
Oh, you got to leave it on. Sorry, Tom. That was ignorant. I shouldn't have said that.
But looking at next year's draft, it's going to be pretty competitive at the top next year. So It's an interesting choice to kind of bail on this year and kind of pin your hopes on next year. But, you know, he's got a ticket to the dance. That's all he needs. And maybe he pulls it off.
It's anyone's ball game this year.
I'm excited to see how it plays out. That's a great award. Rando, I wish that we had a guest award from the commish, because I know he's been very opinionated this year about Tom giving up that Derrick Henry when he was in first place. But we don't have one for Tom, but we do have one for actually a surprise award. So let's hear from the commish now.
Hey, it's your commissioner here. I have a few awards that I wanted to give out. I don't have a For the Johnnies, I don't have an award for everybody here, but there were some that I had some inspiration for. So I will start off with an award for a former owner. This is going to be called the Daniel Snyder Award. Like Daniel Snyder, it's kind of hard to believe that at one point that franchise had success as the Redskins. The tumultuous owner, questionable leadership of the team from coaches and players to significant trauma off-field and in the courtroom, the Daniel Snyder Award could only go to the one and only Kevin Blau. Yeah, I know he's not in the lead, and if Kevin, you're listening to this podcast, hope you're doing okay. Yeah, we're all thinking about you. But yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, just like the Redskins are now Commanders. As soon as they got rid of their owner, they got a new team. They're looking for a new stadium. They've got a better name maybe than they used to have, and they have an exciting young quarterback. The Commanders are looking pretty good, and the Blumpkins, now running fools, have been on fire. No off-field drama for the new guy. He's just winning championships and kicking ass. Yeah, Daniel Snyder Award, Kevin Blau.
That came out of left field, and I love it. Kevin, if you're listening, hope you're doing well, buddy. Congratulations on your first Johnny Award.
Our thoughts are with you. This is huge news for you. And I'm very, very proud of you for receiving this award.
Kevin, if you're listening, we have an email. John will tell you it here in a second. But send us your address via email. We will mail you your certificate.
Which I was actually thinking today, should we make these into things that people feel obligated to, you know, keep on their desk or something?
Yeah, but we got to get some a little more PG with some of the names of these awards as we go further.
Oh man, I'm excited to hear what you got. All right, well, let's keep moving then. Let's get to Hawk Tua next. And Rando, I give them the Naked Lap Award.
Woo!
0-13. Fucking blanked. Didn't knock a single cup off the table. I'm sorry, bud. You got to do a naked lap. The naked lap award goes to Hawk Tua.
I'm with you. He should absolutely do a naked lap.
Just the award. Just the award.
You know what? I wish I would have thought of that because I love the name. I love the idea that never came to my mind.
What did you have?
I gave him the Rod Marinelli and Hugh Jackson Memorial Trophy Award.
I'm going
to this award. This award is for Hawk Tua to recognize his hard work to accomplish something that has never been done in our league's history. Like the award's namesake, Rod Marinelli went 0-16 with the Detroit Lions in 2008, and Hugh Jackson with the Cleveland Browns went 0-16 in 2017.
Oh, wow.
Accomplishing this milestone is a challenge in itself, but now it's time for Matt to burn this whole roster down to the ground and start over from scratch. Put this season in his rearview mirror and begin his rebuild. On the bright side, Hawk Tua has a solid amount of youth on his roster to lean on and restore glory to this once championship-winning franchise.
I mean, one can only hope.
Now, I will say, one thing that the previous owner of the Hawk Tua team did that Matt Indiana has been unable to do is bring a championship home.
He's gotten close. He's gotten close.
That owner, he didn't set – Austin never set lineups. Yes, Austin would forget to put players in. He'd forget there were games. One thing that Didiano accomplished that Austin never did was go 0-13.
Yeah, that's crazy. First time in league history.
You take a team with such history behind it.
I want to pull up like a Stephen A. rant right now, like ineffectual, impotent. I can't keep going, but fucking tough season.
I couldn't come up with a name for it, so I googled like NFL teams that head coaches that went 0 and whatever, and were the two I could find.
I forgot that Hugh Jackson existed, honestly. And I forget, so he went
0 and 17. For the record, I did find this out. They went 0-16, but the year before, in 2016, the Browns went on a 3-game skid to end the year. So, yeah, they went 0-16 in 2017, but they had a 19-game losing streak.
Oh, my God. Oh, and was that when they had the, was it Coors Light that did the beer coolers or Bud Light?
It might have been,
And when they won,
they were like, they had them on padlocks and they were going to open them up whenever they won a game.
Oh my God, that's fucking brutal. Ugh, what a fucking piece of shit franchise. That was great, Randall. Now let's hear once again from the commissioner who had a submission for Hawk Tua as well.
My last and final award is going to go.
He sent three. They're out of order. Sorry, Dave.
To Matt Didiano and Hawk Tua, you did the unthinkable. When everybody said you could do it, you could win a game, you showed them you couldn't. You went 0-13 and defied history. Because of that, you are getting the Washington Generals Award. Like the Washington Generals' sole existence is to lose and be the stooges for the Harlem Globetrotters, Hawk Tua has been the Stooges or the Washington Generals of the Super Friends Fantasy Football League. Your existence has basically been to give every team someone to beat. Didn't matter if it was Randy, if it was me, someone was having a bad week or was on a little bit of a slump. They saw Hawk Tua coming up and roughed him up a little bit. Didn't matter if you changed your team name
this year.
Didn't matter what you did. The only thing that's really going to make a difference is taking guys off the IR from your lineup, probably making a couple waiver wires here or there. But Matt, we love you. We know you have two kids. I know everyone gives you an excuse for some reason. Eric has two kids, and hey, he finished 5-7. So better luck next time. I'm sure somehow you'll still have Isaiah Pacheco, Deebo Samuel, Travis Kelce, and the whole regular crew of guys that you just seem to keep every single year and never make the playoffs. But hey, remember, it all started when last year you almost made the playoffs and then started Kenny Pickett. Lost out on the last game of the season, let Brian slither in there and win the championship. So we'll see what happens next year, bud.
Man,
just like slither in there.
We are tearing Hawk to his shreds.
I just want to point out, one, I love the award, mm-hmm. but I do love the background music in David's award.
It's beautiful.
Nailed it.
Makes me think that we should have background music next year. Let's remember that. That was a good
idea. We should stop doing these back and forth, and we should do our own background music to present our awards.
Yeah, let's write that down for next year.
Noted. I'll talk to the intern.
All right. Well, that, I think, was incredible. Let's get next to Rando, the technical fouls. And I gave them two awards. They get the Whiskey Dick Award. Not to be impolite, Rando, but you know about Whiskey Dick, right?
Yep.
And for the listeners, can you go ahead and describe what that is?
Describe it.
You know what it is, and that's really what their season was. You, four wins in a row, you get home drunk and you think, hey, holy shit, I might be able to do this thing. And I mean, just after that, to go from 4-0, finish 7-6, and it's just you get there and it's like, it's just not going to happen, bud. I'm sorry. Maybe, you know, after a couple glasses of water, maybe Gatorade. Try again later. It's not happening right now. So they get the Whiskey Dick Award. And then also, maybe on the brighter side, the Game of Inches Award. Because at the same time, holy shit. Which I think is actually, think about it, it's a little bit punny, Game of Inches and Whiskey Dick. Because true in both cases, in sex and in football. If fucking Quentin Johnston can catch 3 footballs, you're in the fucking playoffs. So, you know, it's Game of Inches. It's tough. Things didn't go your way this year. Here's to next year.
Once again, Johnny, we are right on the same wavelengths. And right before we announced we were presenting awards to Matthew, I was going to say we should put up a disclaimer because I had a feeling you were going along the same routes I did. I gave the technical fouls the 2-pump chump award. Talk about premature ejaculation. Just like the name of this award, the technical fouls got too excited early on in the season. Starting this season 4-0, this team looked hot as if it was going to pick up where he left off last season. But as the season progressed, the technical fouls proved that once you get past a little bit of foreplay and a couple pumps deep, he couldn't go the distance. Going 3-6 the remainder of the season. Guess going for round 2 is off the table for the technical fouls. And by round 2, I mean the fantasy playoffs. Matthew, I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed. Congrats on the 2-pump chump award.
That is so funny. So just to recap, because you listened to last year's episode and yes. sent me all the awards from last year. So just to clarify, in the past 2 years, the technical fouls this year have gotten the 2-pump chump award and the Whiskey Dick Award and the Game of Inches. And last year they got the Premature Ejaculator Award and the Catfish Award. So
seems to be a common denominator here with the technical fouls.
It might be time to mix things up over there, I guess, is what we're trying to say to you.
Looking for a shake up there, Chez. And not a shake of your dick, because we know you will ejaculate early. We need a roster shake up. Maybe you need a fluffer. I don't know what you need over there, but you got to do better, buddy. Got to do better.
Oh, man. Okay, now let's get to... we're going to do our teams next because neither of us want to do these. So we'll do the Iron City Olifants first. You can lay it on me, Rando.
You didn't give yourself an award this year?
No award. I don't think I give myself awards usually. It seems like bad juju.
Let me I'm going to try to do this. I may fuck this up.
Jesus.
I gave you the cream of the crop award.
Okay.
I can't do it. I'm the cream of the crop, and there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man. Talk about a resurgence. In 2023, the Olifants finished 5-8. But in 2024, this team bounced back as cold-blooded killers, going 11-2 to lay claim to the number one seed in the playoffs, along with this year's scoring title, scoring a league-high 1,693.5 points. Yeah. To be the best, you got to beat the best, and that's what Sean Dillard did all season long. The only teams he didn't sweep this year were Denny Irvine's Gatorade in a Week 5 loss and the Real American in a Week 13 loss. But this team is strong and looking to destroy anyone that gets in their way to bring home another fantasy football championship back to Bloomfield, back to the Fonts. I was going to do a Macho Man impression, and I don't think I...
That would have been a lot of Macho Man. You know, I would say I appreciate it, but I know you're just trying to reverse jinx me. I feel like you secretly want Tom to win this.
John, look, part of me wants Tom to make it to another fantasy football championship and lose. I would love to see it. But also, part of me would love to see Brian talk shit on Tom all week, get Tom fumbling and stumbling all the way, and he loses. I don't know. But right now, there's no one in the league better than you. There's no one in the league that's been as dominant as you. And look, as we said at the top of the hour, these are end of regular season awards. And buddy, you dominated in the regular season.
Well, you're being very nice and it's making me uncomfortable. But I do have to say, I sent it in the chat at the beginning of the season. I said the road to the championship is a long one, but an Olifant never forgets. Olifant Nation, let's ride. And that's my message to the team this week. We know what we're doing. We know how to get where we want to go. And, you know, head to the grindstone. Keep working. Let's get to your team next, the Real Americans.
Oh, Jesus. We don't deserve an award.
I gave you two awards. The first one is the 40 Years in the Desert Award. Because, boy, oh, boy, I mean, Jewish through and through, you are wandering through the fantasy football desert for the next 40 years, my friend. No first-round draft picks until the year 2030. What the fuck, Randy? I feel like that could really fuck you over.
5 years. I could wait 5 years.
But even think of, like trading for loners, Rando. Anyone can outbid you.
Nope, with the new Randy rule, it's a death sentence for a while. We're going to have to get creative on the back end, Johnny. Real creative.
Get creative on the back end. Oh, man. I love it. I'm so excited to see how you do it. All right, so that was the first one. And then the second one is the It's Impolite to Kiss and Tell Award.
You're French, or?
Kind of out of line there, Derek. Did you go up for shirt?
No, you're really out of line, Derek.
We did French. That much I will reveal.
Well, you already revealed that much. You might as well just tell us if you went up a shirt.
It's impolite to kiss and tell, Derek.
It's impolite to kiss and tell, but Randy, I mean, your team is just absolutely fucked. No draft picks again until 2030. I'm excited to see how you wriggle out of it. I really am. Because, I will say, just before you make your point, looking back at my own first-round draft picks, I gotta say, though, not always that important. Now, I usually have my second, third, fourth, and so on round draft picks, unlike you, mm-hmm. for the next couple of years. But I think after, 2027, maybe, I feel like you have basically all your picks other than your first round picks, which I guess is still a long fucking way away. So, no, you're fucked, my friend.
Hey. Maybe I'll take that the title away from Tinker and Tom. It'll be Tinker and Randy. I'm going to have to get real creative on this waiver wire free agency, yes. As I did this year.
You're the leader.
Like I said, moves. I think we overachieved this year. We should be 0-13 like Hawk Tua.
Yeah. Yeah.
The roles should be reversed, but we definitely overachieved this year, and I'm damn proud of this ball club. They kept fighting all the way to the end.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's hear what the commission thinks of your team.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. So my next award is going to be called the...
I declare bankruptcy!
Award. Yeah, that one's going to go to the one and only Randy Myers. Yeah, Randy, we love you. But, you know, you did turn things around a little bit this year, winning four games somehow against all odds. But, you know, you bankrupted the future a while ago, and it doesn't matter how loud you yell it. You can't get rid of your team. You can't get a new team. You can't pawn it off to some other poor sap just because you bankrupted your own team. I hope the championship 3 or 4 years ago at this point was worth it, bud, because looking at the old draft board, you gave up your first-round pick next year to me to have Josh Jacobs last year. You gave up your first-round pick next year, and the year after that, and the year after that to John to have Patrick Mahomes and Alvin Kamara. You gave up your... Sorry, smooth jazz in the background, trying to class up this award ceremony. Your
love it.
Round one, 2029, round two, 2026, round three, 2026, round two, 2027, round three, 2027 to Brian for, and Joe Mixon and Tank Dell for, Alec Pierce, James Conner, and Mike Evans. You gave up your round three, 2025 to Eric for Deontay Johnson. I don't even know if he's been playing for the Ravens. And that's where we had to kind of cut you off, neuter you a little bit, and implement the Randy rule. So, yeah, you haven't done anything since then. But you did loan James Cook to Chez for around 3-2025 back. So, hey, not too bad. But, yes, the I declare bankruptcy rule or award.
I declare bankruptcy!
I love how crescendos there.
He hit it. He hit the nail on the head.
Oh my God, that is.
Look, John, I'm only a danger to myself.
Well, can you let us in on your little schemes to fuck up a different team and get rid of your terrible trade history?
So what I wanted to do was sell off the franchise.
Uh huh.
And when I sell off the franchise to the highest bidder, that being Anthony or Ian, they seem to be the only two takers willing to move into the league since we're not looking to expand. I was going to take the proceeds from that move and buy into a new team.
Who are you going to buy into? Did you want to take
over? I had a preliminary agreement with Eric. That if we could get the commissioner to allow a sale of my team.
This is unfucking you too.
I would become co-manager of Eric's team.
How many fucking people are managing this team now? It's four by my count.
There'd be four running Eric's team.
Unfucking believable. Well, good. I'm glad the commissioner isn't going to let you pull off that bullshit because I would riot. Well, that brings us next to, of course, our commish, Oink, Rando. I gave them the, I forgot to give him one. I wrote down already giving himself the James Franklin Award because I wanted to remind people. I think it was last week. I don't know if he made it an award, but that is, you know, kind of emblematic of his season. He's the Penn State of the West behind Ohio State and Michigan, which is the Iron City All-Lifelongs and the Running Fools. But, you know, that's a regular season award. You're in the playoffs. You got to take it to the dance. Let's see what you can do. So I guess we'll stick with the James Franklin Award for him. That's a good one. Brando, what you got? What you have?
Hey, I like that award. I like that. So I was a little nicer to David than he was to me. I'm a little hurt. Now, I gave David the Be a Goldfish Award. As Ted Lasso once said, you know what the happiest animal on Earth is? Do you know, Johnny?
No.
Do you know?
No, what is it?
It's a goldfish.
Really?
As a 10-second memory, be a goldfish. Commissioner Glancy has had quite the turbulent season, starting off the year ranked as the second best team in our league by ESPN, but then was bit by the injury bug early on with star players such as Christian McCaffrey and Puka Nacua going down. Starting off the year 1-2 wasn't ideal for Oink, but then Oink persevered and went on a 5-game win streak, bringing his record to 6-2. But then in back-to-back weeks, in week 9 and week 10, Oink faced potential playoff opponents in the Iron City Olyphants and the Running Fools, losing both of those matchups. David has since clinched the playoffs as the number 4 seed and will go up against the number 1 seed Iron City Olyphants. But listeners, you heard it here first. Do not sleep on Oink.
Ooh.
The past is the past, and just like a goldfish, Oink is determined and focused to finally bring home a championship that has long since eluded this franchise. All that work he does in the offseason and behind the scenes for no return. Could this be the year David cashes in?
Yeah, and that was beautiful, Rando, yet again. Fantastic and very good points. This is a really good ball club. Obviously, I didn't want them to make the playoffs because I didn't want to fucking play them. Would much rather play to the technical fouls. Very good ball club, and we'll see what they can do. That was great, Rando. Next and lastly, is that right? Altman and Sons?
Yes.
Incorporated. I gave them all three of them right now, and possibly Rando, the GM of the next year award, because Rando, they have, in addition to, I believe they have all their own picks. So in addition to all those, they have Brian's first round pick next year. They have David's second round pick. They have my second round pick. They have Tom's third round pick, and they have your third round pick. So, Rando, by the end of the third round, including keepers, Altman and Sons is going to have 11 players on their team. That's the entire lineup and two bench players.
Look, that's a smart move. He's got two kids, a wife. He's got to get home. He can't be at the draft for 4 or 5 hours waiting on Tom to decide what fourth tight end he's going to pick. He wants to get in by the third round and get out.
I mean, it's a brilliant move, and I mean, I feel like I had a lot of draft picks this year. I don't think I had that many draft picks. So that's going to be a scary team next year. I mean, depending on who's really running it. I mean, if one of the Suns kind of takes over, I think we might be okay. We're going to end up with a lot of loser Pitt Panther players on that team. But, you know, if it's still the father, I think he's still got it. He's still sharp in the head. You know, like I said, I'm not too sure about the Suns yet, but I think the father still got it. And if he's running the team, GM of the next year award goes to Altman and Sons Incorporated.
I didn't even look at that, and I'm glad you brought that up. That is stockpiling ammo for the future.
11 players by the end of the third round. I mean, holy shit. You have your pig the litter.
Yeah. His team is going to be full before I won't even have started drafting.
Yeah, I won't either. I don't draft till the fourth round.
To build off that, John,
yeah,
I gave...
what'd you give Altman and Sons?
So I will say this before I get this out. Eric was the toughest for me to give an award to because the team like wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just...
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know how else to describe it. But I gave Eric the it's a fine line between squashing grapes and drinking wine. One of my favorite Tomlinisms describes Altman and Sons to a T. Altman and Sons Incorporated finished 5-8 and never quite seemed to find his groove. Going 2-7 into week 10 and then 3-1 to finish out the year. To Eric's credit, he finished out the year playing spoiler, upsetting both the technical fouls and Oink.
That was awesome.
Who knows? It seems like in the second... My apologies, I can't read.
That's okay.
Who knows? It seems like in the second year since the rebrand, maybe the Suns part of Altman and Sons Inc. is running the show now. But never forget, Eric, it's a fine line between squashing grapes and drinking wine. Hopefully Altman and Sons Incorporated can get the ship righted and get back to drinking wine in 2025.
There we go. Incredible. And couldn't agree more. That's great because they work very kind of on the fence this year. They definitely had the potential to break out. And yeah, like you said, just didn't get started. But next year, I think they're well positioned.
Yeah,
excited I'm with to see you what on. They do, and scared to see what they do.
Eric's got a lot of time to start prepping for the draft.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's the end of my award sheet, Rando. Any more from you?
Nope, that's the end of mine.
Co-host of the year goes to Randy. That's for sure.
Thank you for having me, John. Thank you for having me. This is the house that you built. I'm honored to be a guest in here every single week.
All right. Well, Rando, we are over an hour yet again. So let's fly through the playoffs. Fuck the, you know, seventh and eighth and all those bullshit.
Yeah, we don't need to go into the consolation round, the NIT bracket. It's not worth discussing.
I want just a team name, Rando, Running Fools versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Who are you picking?
Well, I got a question.
In week one.
All right, let me bring this up real quick. I gotta get the facts in front of me.
Okay.
Right here.
I'm gonna have follow-ups.
All right. So strictly based off projections.
Week 14, round one, Running Fools, Denny Irvine. Who you got?
I'm taking the Running Fools.
Okay, let's play it forward. Who's winning in that matchup? Running Fools.
In the matchup, I think the Running Fools still maintain going into week two. Or finishing out week two. I think the Running Fools
maintain their
lead. I
think
they'll create too wide of a gap, and I don't think Tom will be able to catch them.
Okay. So you got Running Fools coming out of that side. Oink, mm-hmm. Iron City, Oliphants. One team name, Rando. Who do you got?
Week one, I'm going Oink.
Week one, taking Oink. Okay.
Week one, taking Oink.
And who's coming out of that round?
Week two, coming out of the round, I think the Iron City Oliphants, they play catch up. They get their full starting lineup back in, and I think they overtake Oink.
I love it. For me, on Running Fools versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade, I'm kind of right there with you. The Running Fools have some buy issues, kind of like the Iron City Oliphants, but I'm taking the Fools, and I'm taking them to the championship. And same on the other side, I'm right there with you. Although I'm taking the Oliphants next week also. I like my squad. I think I'm well prepared for all the buys that I have. And I'm taking myself to go to the championship against the Running Fools and excited to see who comes out on top. Rando.
I can't wait to see. It's going to be exciting to see how it plays out.
It's going to be great. Very excited to see. And I think that's all we got. Best of luck to everyone this week except for Oink. We will be back next Tuesday, Rando. We're going to release a day early because we're recording on Monday. So that'll be fun. We won't know the ending of the games, or will we? We'll find out. This has been a super fantasy football show. We'll be back next week. And until then, I'll see you at Froggies.
Take us out, Glow City, right into the playoffs.